Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, I'm joined now by Eitne Shorthall, columnist and author, and Shane Hegarty, children's author, to talk about books we might read over the summer. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
And of course, book recommendations are the big currency at this time of the year, aren't they? Everyone looking for good stuff for the holidays and that. Shane, does summer change what or how you read?
I think when I'm going away, it can change things. So you sort of find that thing of like, right, I should have three books in the bag or two books in the bag or four books in the bag if I'm going away. And you sometimes feel that pressure to have something that you're really, really going to enjoy. And I know people who bring books with them from holiday to holiday to holiday kind of keep trying to to finish them. So I definitely try and bring a kind of a good selection with me. And the one thing about holidays is, so it depends on whether you're going away on your own or whether you've got the kids or whatever as to how much time you actually have to read. But if I know I have a good blast of reading, I'll probably stick two or three books in and try and pick things that I'm kind of pretty sure I'm going to enjoy, because the last thing you want is to sort of sit down, read three chapters and go, well, I'm done with that.
Yeah. You don't want to be taking any chances, do you?
No. The one thing that definitely changes for me, that because I'm not a great fan of Kindle, but I will load a few things on the Kindle before I go away, because that can be really handy and you can have a few, you can throw big books on it. You're also thinking of the weight if you're flying on holidays.
Well, it's an absolute no-brainer.
Well, that's it. If it's a choice between luggage or a child, if you're getting on a flight, then it can be really, really useful. So I probably, Kindle, I look back and actually realise the only time I've really, any time I've bought Kindle books over the last few years has been purely, for the week, the night before you go on holidays.
Remember you used to have to bring a case of CDs, a mini CD player, mini speakers and a load of books on holidays. There was barely room for clothes. Are you a Kindle person, Eitne?
I was like adamantly anti-Kindle until I had my first child and I discovered its very specific wonder, which was to use when breastfeeding at nighttime, because you can hold it in one hand, you can read in the dark, you know, and it was absolutely brilliant. It made it such a more pleasurable experience. And ever since, yes, I will use the Kindle. But like, I prefer a physical book. And because my kids are quite small, the idea of going on a foreign holiday, on an airplane with weight restrictions sounds more like a threat than a treat. So we holiday in Ireland, and so there is no weight restriction. So I do actually bring physical books, but I also buy books when I'm on holiday. Like all our holidays so far, really, we just go to Mayo. We go to the same house. We have access to a house and it's great. And we go there. And I usually bring two books and then I buy two books. There's a shop there called Tertulia on the Quay in Westport that I love. And I always go in there and I always buy books when I'm down there, because that's part of the joy of holiday, like
that's
wandering
nice.
Around.
Yeah. Because when you're out foreign, like, you wouldn't be going into the bookshops.
No, and they might have a few English language books, but the choice will be very limited and they'll be very pricey.
Jack Reacher and that kind
exactly,
of thing.
Exactly,
yeah. Okay. Have you managed to synchronise nap times with the two kids? I remember that was always the dream on a holiday, like if you could get them both to go down for an hour at the same time.
Yeah, no, that is the dream, but one has aged out of the naps, we have quiet time while the other one naps. But I would say the bulk of my holiday reading is done when they go to bed. That's realistically, like, at Christmas time, and there's all these articles about what to do in the week in between with all that free time, and I'm like, I can't relate to this at all. Same with summer holidays, like the idea of lounging on a beach or whatever and reading is gone for a while, but you know, they still go to bed early, and that's a good chunk of reading time.
Shane, another economy tip is to share books on holidays between partners.
Yeah, or if you're going away with friends or something, because that thing of, I think a lot of the time people sort of think of books at the last minute, sort of throw things into the bag or whatever, and you might throw a few things in, but actually it can be quite useful if you have a book each. And I went away with friends last year and there was a bit of sort of book passing around going on. And that can be a good one. And oddly, even if you've got kids, depending on what age they are, you know, there are books that, you know, the kids might read that you will read as well. So that can be a useful one for just avoiding both the weight of it, but also having something different to read.
It's also like a mini book club, because then you've read it and someone else has just read it. So it's fresh in both your minds and you can chat about it. Especially, like, what
absolutely
else are you going to talk about?
It can reboot a marriage on a holiday. Something to talk about when the kids are having the nap. So just before we get to the recommendations, there's two here you have picked out. Eitne, you're bringing Sharp Objects by Gillian Flynn is one of the books you're bringing.
Yeah, well, that was... we went to Mayo a few weeks ago, and that was one of the books I bought in Tertullia. And like that's not a new book. Gillian Flynn is better known Gillian, I would agree, but this is what she says, Gillian Flynn. But
she's entitled,
and it's her name, so who am I to argue? Yeah. But she's best known for writing Gone Girl. But she's two other novels. I think it's just three altogether. But Sharp Objects is one of them. It was turned into a TV series a few years ago, Amy McAdams.
But Oh, yeah.
Did you
see
it?
Yeah, which is great.
But the book, it blew me away. I guess it's a literary thriller is what you would call it. Amy McAdams' character, I can't remember her name now in the book, but she's a journalist and she goes back to her hometown to report on the murder of two young girls. So they're wondering, is it a serial killer? And she's sent back. And it's about, of course, these murders, but also her relationship with her very, very messed up mother and messed up family. And it is just so well done. It's creepy and gothic and atmospheric, and I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. And easygoing.
And not easygoing, but compulsive, you know, a page turner. Like that idea that a summer read has to be frothy, I really would disagree. I just think a summer read is something that you read in summer. You know, that's the definition.
Okay. So that's Sharp Objects by Gillian Flynn. And Shane, we'll talk about a few more sci-fi recommendations in a while, but I know that you love sci-fi. One of your holiday books this year, Sea of Tranquility by Emily St. John Mandel.
Yeah, so... I think we're right on the name there. I would, and again, when we kind of talk about the Kindle thing, I will often have a look and see. So I think people sometimes kind of settle into kind of genre reads as well when they are away, or things that they kind of like and they want to pick up maybe the big book that might be out as a thriller or a murder mystery or whatever it might be. And it tends to be sci-fi for me. I just really enjoy them, and I'll pick up a few things that I, you know, recommendations from New York Times or whatever. But a lot of people will have read Station 11 over the pandemic, and it was a pandemic book that kind of found a readership again. It was a pre-pandemic book, but found a readership through the pandemic, as it's a story with a lot more optimism about that, and a book that's still worth recommending. So, but if you're looking for something a bit different, Sea of Tranquility is this kind of time-hopping story that takes place across different centuries and is beautifully written, is very approachable as a science fiction story, because sometimes people feel science fiction is either for them or it's not for them.
Yes, very much, yeah. But it's nodding avidly there.
Yeah, but it's one of those, it's beautifully written, great characters, a great sort of mystery at the heart of the whole thing. And again, if you enjoyed Station 11, which again is a sort of an apocalyptic book that found a much wider readership, I definitely recommend this as something. And look, the truth of it is, it's not that long. And I think sometimes also we want, if we've got a week or a few days that you're away, or you have that bit of time that you're off, maybe you don't want something that's going to take the entire summer to read. It might be nice to have something that's got a bit of punch to it.
Yeah.
And that you feel you'll be able to get over in that week that you have off.
Okay. Shane, you're recommending some audiobooks for the long drives and maybe for the whole family.
Yeah, I was kind of slow getting to the audiobooks.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
And I've found now that I've increasingly... Look, Spotify have them all now. So if you have Spotify...
That's what pushed me over the line.
You sign up to a different, like a kind of premium membership, isn't it?
If you have your normal... If you have a kind of a Spotify premium account your music, all the audiobooks are there as well.
And they're mostly free.
Yeah,
it's terrifying. Like,
yeah, it is. It's terrifying as an author.
Yeah, I feel like this isn't good for me.
I don't think
we're going to see too much of that down the line. And now we know what the musicians are feeling about it. But it is really, really good, because all of a sudden you have, you know, you see it almost like you have the entire civilization of audiobooks available at your fingertips. And I was trying to think of something that if you're driving, often people are driving, whether it's across the country or driving through France or whatever. If you want something that the whole family will enjoy, I can't recommend highly enough The Summer I Robbed a Bank by David O'Doherty. And David O'Doherty is a comedian. And it's a story of a kid who goes to Achill Island to his uncle, and as the title says, The Summer I Robbed a Bank, kind of gets involved in this kind of madcap adventure. And it is, David O'Doherty's reading of it is absolutely brilliant. And if you want something which I guarantee everybody in the car will enjoy, regardless of age, and will be laughing out loud at, and will enjoy, or want to know what's going to happen next, and will want that next chapter, and you'll pull up wherever you're pulling up, and you'll all sit in the car waiting for the chapter to finish before you all get out.
Really? Yeah, okay.
It is superb, and he for anybody who knows him, it just, his personality shines through, and his comedic sense shines through, and it's a really, really brilliant book.
This sounds superior to listening to Crazy Frog on repeat, which is what we did on the trip to Mayo last time. So
you've never listened to an audiobook, Edna, have you?
No, I haven't. I've only read books in the traditional form. I just think that, obviously I'm wrong because, you know, it works for so many people, but that my concentration would wander.
Do you listen to podcasts?
I listen to podcasts, but I can't say, you know, sometimes I do tune out and I tune back in. Yeah.
A book you're not 100% committed to. I was very against them as well, and I signed up for Audible about 3 times, but I'm now finding with Spotify that a book, I think I'd like to read that, but I'm not going to bother reading it.
You can kind
of like take it in.
The idea of non-fiction appeals, and you know, with the person reads in their own voice and you get a greater sense of story, I think that I can kind of...
And I think that's the thing. The other one that I did enjoy was away with friends a couple of months ago. We had to drive to the ferry in France, and we put Alan Partridge on, the audio books.
Yeah.
And if you're a fan of Alan Partridge or just some, you know, just love something that's going to make you laugh every other sentence.
And they're way funnier than reading the books, actually.
And that's the thing, and because it's in his voice. So I think if you get the right voice, and I've found that it's taken me, I was like you, I must have had about 14 Audible subscriptions that went down, but I'm being sucked into it now, and I really do see the value of them.
Yeah. A bit of humour, good for a summer read, Shane, and you're recommending the old stalwart, Ross O'Carroll Kelly.
Yeah, it's the last Ross O'Carroll Kelly book coming up in August. So... it just, again, if you like something that's funny, it's a no-brainer. Mm. Any of those books. I think even still, they all, you know, Paul Howard has captured a moment in time with every one of those books, and yet every one of them still is very recognisable. The characters are timeless in their own way.
So people could go back,
I think you can go back and pick them up, and but they're just brilliantly funny. And again, he's somebody who reads those quite brilliantly as well. But they're phenomenally good books. And I find that, you know, if... as I said, sometimes I see people who bring books on the same holiday. They bring the same book. And I know people who brought the same book on like 2 or 3 different holidays. And each time they've the full intention of reading it.
Yes.
And in some way, it's almost as if they set themselves a challenge.
Yeah. No, but you're ruining your holiday. You're ruining your holiday.
So I like to think, well, if you haven't found, or if you're not getting through the book, maybe pick something different. And I would say short stories or essays are really good as well. And that's why, as funny... essays, I'd recommend David Sedaris. Any David Sedaris book is fantastic.
And you can do that in bite size.
Yeah, but that's it. And you know, you might sit down and you might only have 15 or 20 minutes before the kids need another ice cream or whatever's happening, and you will read something in that time, and it will, to be honest, it'll be as funny and as much substance, and you'll get as much out of it sometimes as an entire book.
Yeah, and he's an American humorist, and he's the master of the genre.
Yeah.
Okay, people are texting and reading Long Island. It's a beautiful book. Somebody else is recommending BorrowBox, an amazing free service where you can download audio and e-books. Etna, let's rock through. You have... I think 6 books here from the last year.
Yes. So I thought, you know, obviously you could read anything in the summer, but probably recent reads. And the big read of the summer is Long Island, by Colm Tobin, which is the follow-up to the hugely popular Brooklyn. And Long Island looks that it's going to be as popular. It's been the bestseller in Ireland for weeks. In America, Oprah Winfrey picked it for her book club, which is, you know, incredible for Colm Tobin. So it picks up where Brooklyn ended. Eilish is living in Long Island with her Italian-American husband, Tony. And literally the first page,
I don't think he wants us to tell people
what exactly happens on the first page.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
He would tiptoed right around it.
Oh, I did. I listened to that interview and I was thinking, why hasn't he said that?
I think he wants us to.
Okay, well, a man turns up at the door and he says something shocking that changes Eilish's life. I think that's what he said.
I also told him before we came in here that I thought it was better than Brooklyn. And then I realised.
I love all your children the same. That's the right line.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Yeah. Well, okay. It's great. It's the same characters. And it really is a summer read because it's okay. Light and easy.
Done. Move us along to some of the other ones.
So then another one that's recent and set in the summer, it's called Evenings and Weekends by Oisin McKenna. He's an Irish author, but it's set in London and it's the life of three or four millennials, late 20s, 30, and it's one weekend. And it's set in 2019, in that summer that was so, so hot, and you can feel the heat from the page and youth. And I think when you think about your youth in the most rose-tinted way, it's the summers
you're
that you
so
remember.
Right. Yeah.
And it really captures that, you know.
Okay, and that's then Evenings and Weekends.
Evenings and Weekends.
It sounds great.
And then I've been in a big run of thrillers at the moment. So just to mention some of them, one that I really loved was When We Were Silent. When We Were Silent by Fiona McPhillips. It's set in between the 1980s in a kind of private girls' secondary school, and there's a swimming coach, and there's an incident of abuse between him and students, and then we're to the present day where it's being revisited and investigated. I found it brilliant as a thriller, but also really captured that thing of being young and female and so confident with your friends, but then when you're actually in the big bad adult world, you find that you have no voice. I thought that was just brilliant.
Okay, When We Were Silent.
When We Were Silent.
Phillips,
and
yeah.
Then two other ones were The Trial by Jo Spain. Jo Spain just doesn't write anything except page turners from the very first chapter. I just couldn't stop going with this. Similar in that it's an elite college and a male medical student goes missing, and 10 years later his girlfriend comes back to the college to try and figure out what happened. Really good thriller, elements of like big pharma espionage stuff that I love. And the other one was Someone in the Attic by Andrea Mara. Again, like Andrea Mara is, you know, on a run of writing brilliant page-turner thrillers, and it's about a woman that's moved back to Dublin from America. She's affluent, she's living in a lovely new house, but someone has been up in her attic and running around her house, and it's been in a viral video that's going around online. She's trying to figure out what's going on. There's so many layers to this, and it all gets wrapped up brilliantly. And then another one that's just something a little bit different is Bodies, and that's by Christine Ann Foley, and that was only out last week. And it's about a young woman, and she's quite maybe deadpan in her outlook or bleak, but she's looking back at her life and her relationships and her attitude to her body. And I think it would generally be classed as millennial fiction, this a term people use. But I thought it was great, and it had a real darkness to it. Like, it's sharp and kind of perceptive and really good on sex and romance, but it's the dark edge and it gets bit by bit darker and darker, and I found it delicious.
Okay, they sound great. If people aren't catching up, we will put all these recommendations up on the website later. Shane, a lot of people are texting in recommending Strange Sally Diamond by Liz Nugent.
Oh, yeah.
That is one of your picks of recent books.
It is brilliant, and I have seen it by the poolside a couple of months ago, where I saw that a lot of people were reading it, and for good reason. And it's a story but a really unique character, a multi-layered mystery, lots of twists and turns, and honestly probably the best chapter of a book I've read in a long time.
Really?
Absolutely, from the very, very first pages, it just sets out exactly what this story is going to be and the character is going to be.
I would second the vote for that. I love that book as well.
Yeah.
It's got Eleanor Oliphant, but like with a dark edge.
It's okay, really, and you've, really Shane, excellent. You've two other picks of recent books. Kevin Barry?
Well, I literally picked up Kevin Barry yesterday, The Heart in Winter. And again, sometimes it's good if it's over the summer to read something that is brand new as well, and people want, people are going to be talking about it, and people will be talking about this. And Kevin Barry just doesn't write bad books or bad stories. Again, he's a really good one for short stories. That Old Country Music is a great short story collection. So I've literally about six pages into The Heart of in Winter and laughed about four times already. And just, it has every trademark, is a brilliant with dialogue, with setting, just being able to set everything up in a sentence. He's phenomenal. So
yeah.
I'd really recommend that. And Soldier Sailor, which is a sort of a heavier read by Claire Kilroy, but is absolutely excellent story of motherhood, a new motherhood and self, and it's dark, and it's not a light read by any means, but it's one of those books that has stuck with me in the months that I've since I've read it,
and
again, if you're looking for something that perhaps if you've read Prophet Song, or you're looking for something kind of really, really good and literary and strong, but very recognisable, this is
Soldier Sailor by Claire Kilroy. And the book that stays with you is a great thing, isn't it? The best book I've read recently, have either of you read Beautyland by Marie-Hélène Bertino. Someone gave it to me. It's kind of, I tried to buy it for someone else. It's hard to find. It's best you know nothing about it. It's quite weird in a way, but I think it could be one of those books that's a slow burner that turns into a phenomenon. Beautyland, Marie-Hélène Bertino. A holiday can also be a great time, Shane, to get stuck into a long book. I read like Claire Massoud's kind of family history, The Strange Eventful History, and first 100 pages are going, is this going anywhere? And then by the end of a week, you'd had this epic sweep. I never would have done it at in real life, you know, but I was totally in it.
And that's it. And if you've got the car, or again, if you're throwing stuff on the Kindle, like I read 1, 2, 3, 4, which is The Beatles in Time a couple of years ago, which is a 650-page book. And it was my sort of holiday read. But it was one of those. The story of the Beatles by Craig Brown, but it's a kind of episodic story, and it kind of jumps back and forward between themes and episodes in their life and the chronology. But it's absolutely brilliant and very readable. And for a book that's so long, it just zips by. And likewise, sometimes if you're in a place and you want to read about the history of the place, or I did the D-Day stuff recently and found myself reading a lot of the D-Day books again.
Yeah.
You know, it's always a good excuse to go and find something that kind of correlates with where you're, if you're heading off somewhere or something that's going on over the summer, whether it's the D-Day landings, whether it's the Olympics, or great books, kind of sports books that you can read at the
moment.
Yeah, we'll
come back to sports books in a minute, maybe. Etna, we mentioned David Sedaris. What about other kind of short books? Are you like short stories on holiday?
Yeah, I've recently gotten more into the chunky reads, but a few short story collections that always stand out in my head when anyone's looking for short recommendations. George Saunders, like, have you read short stories?
I know of his name.
He's American. Yeah. They're funny. They're very quirky, and they have a slight magical element to them, but like very slightly, very subtly, and it's done so casually. I think his short stories are brilliant. I also love essays, and Emily Pine is one that I have gifted to 4 or 5 people. Her first collection.
This is Notes to Self.
Yeah, Notes to Self. Yeah. And they're things from her life. They're very much her life as a woman, the issues that she's dealing with. And I think that's an incredible collection. Really good for holidays. And really would be a good one to kind of share with people, because you could read the same essay within a day, a couple of people, and there's so much to talk about in that collection. Yeah.
Okay, Shane, you wanted to mention a few sports books?
Yeah, well I suppose the Olympics out, and you often see people sort of reading the sports biographies, but the truth is a lot of them are kind of quite dull, I think, and there's not much in them. But there's a couple of, if you're watching the Olympics, and especially with the athletics, it's just come on, there's a couple of really great books that I'd recommend. One is The Dirtiest Race in History, Ben Johnson, Carl Lewis, and the 1988 Olympic 100 metres final by Richard Moore, which is a book that came out about a decade ago, but it's just a fantastic read about that very famous race, which is the Ben Johnson race. It's the one where he won it, world record, and then it got stripped away from him pretty much the next day. And I think 6 of the 8 athletes had some connection with drugs or been found to have taken drugs afterwards. And Richard Moore goes in search of the athletes, the story behind it, why some maybe were treated differently to others. And it's just it's maybe it'll leave you a little cynical going into the Olympics, but it's great. But one that it's probably the best sports book I've read in a long time, and I think especially post the European athletics recently, is a book called Good for a Girl, A Woman Running in a Man's World by Lauren Fleshman. And she was one of the leading US middle distance athletes. And this, if you want to get a sense of the sacrifices made to be an athlete, and especially the sacrifices that female athletes make in a sport that for a long time, and probably still to some extent, is set up for male athletes in terms of training, in terms of the whole system. It's absolutely brilliant and insightful. And again, when we see the Olympics, sometimes we don't realise what the athletes have done to get there. And we also don't realise how many haven't made it. We don't see the heartache of those who haven't made it. And this is a book I'd recommend for anybody who's, not just if they've kind of got a newfound interest in the athletics because of everything that's that we've seen in recent weeks and all the brilliant performances, but if you have any interest in sport or if you coach sport, it's absolutely brilliant. And that's another one of those books that I just think about all the time, because I learned more in that book than sort of, you know, years of being involved in sport.
Okay, Good for a Girl by Lauren Fleshman. Yeah. What else have you got for us, Etna? You were saying to maybe read a book about where you're going.
I love that if you go on holidays and you can happen to bring a book set in that city or even the country, or, you know, like you're going to the Greek islands, there's loads of great mysteries set in Greek islands. Or I always remember a summer in Paris reading Down and Out in London and Paris, and I will remember George Orwell. I will remember that book so much more for having been in the city when I read it. And when you just get that timing, it's perfect, I think. Have you done that?
You know, I'm getting a flashback to when I was 19 in Boston on my J1, and I was reading Ulysses because I thought that's what I should do. And I remember sitting, I was a security guard. I was Boston's least useful security guard. And I was sitting on the train and I was struggling through Ulysses, and I looked across from me and there was another security guard sitting directly across me reading Rocky 3, the novel. And I thought, he's got the right idea.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can get it very wrong as well. I can remember going on a Greek, you know, island hopping trip, and I was on this beach and I was reading Cormac McCarthy's The Road. This is not the vibe.
Now, talk about a book that stays with you. I am still traumatized by Cormac McCarthy's The Road. I know people say, oh no, there's hope in it, like, but I'm sorry I ever read it, I have to say. Someone's saying here that the voice is everything in audiobooks. I relate to what your guest said about the voice. I listened to all Creatures Great and Small books by James Harriott during COVID while out walking. They were all read by Christopher Timothy. So soothing and nostalgic. Voice is lovely, and as he was a character in the original, it was like going back to my childhood. Someone else says about audiobooks as well, I had undiagnosed dyslexia until I was 45, 25 years ago. Up until then, I couldn't concentrate. I never read a book. Audiobooks, I've listened to thousands of books. It's been like magic for them. Someone else says, I just finished the most wonderful summer read by Irish writer Ronan Hessian. It's called Ghost Mountain. Charming, quirky, thought-provoking. I saw it described somewhere as like reading a Wes Anderson movie. It is a sheer joy. Shane, I did promise you could come back to science fiction.
Well, there's a book. This is one of those now. I hope I'm recommending it right, because this is one of my discoveries a couple of years ago on holidays, and I picked it up on the Kindle, recommended New York Times. It's called This Is How You Lose a Time War. And it's about two agents who are involved in this great sort of time-spanning, universe-spanning war. And it's written as letters to each other. And there's two authors, Amal El-Mokhtar and Max Gladstone, who wrote each character separately. And the reason I'm recommending it isn't just because I loved it.
Is this for the rest of us now, or is this?
It is, because it's a beautifully written book. Now, it is very ambitious in what it does. It is quite out there in terms of what it, you know, the story itself. But at the heart of it, there's this kind of characters who, it's a very tradition, there's a traditional enemies to lovers story underneath it. But it's a book that I have seen in the bookshops a lot over the last while as I go to bookshops. I realise it's one of those that became a real word of mouth favourite, because it's a few years old, but it has just gathered momentum. And when you see something like that, you know that something, it's not just me who enjoyed that book. Clearly, a lot of people enjoyed it and have talked about it. And again, if you're looking for something that's just that bit different, it's a really, really good, good one. And I will say, if you go into bookshops, have a look at those recommendations, that they have handwritten recommendations. If you go into a local bookshop, an independent bookshop, or if you go into Dubray, they're dying to give you recommendations. They will give you great ideas. So if you're not sure, or if you're going somewhere in particular, or you say, I've read this and I'm looking for something like that, it would be great. And then you did mention Borrow Box, and you mentioned the libraries. Like, the libraries are fantastic. And if you didn't enjoy it, you just bring it back again.
Sorry, we were talking about kids earlier, for the libraries. They're doing a thing that my son is really into at the moment called Summer Stars.
Oh, it's brilliant.
And so every time you read a book, you get a stamp and you go up to 9. And when you've read 3, you get a gift, I think. And then another 3, you get like a pencil, a notebook. He is absolutely delighted with himself every time he gets it. So that's a brilliant initiative they're running if you're trying to get kids into reading this summer.
And they authors do get money every time you borrow a book from the library. A lot of people don't realise that we actually get some money.
So you're pushing the library over Spotify.
We get more than Spotify.
I'm pushing it for the good of love the children.
Someone's pushing your books on text on the text line here as well. His own books are brilliant. I picked up The Lodgers at the airport, couldn't put it down on the flight. Now stuck into Three Little Truths, and it's equally superb. That's Fran and Carlo, in case you
Or is it my mam in Dublin?
Secret Road. And Shane, people will be delighted to know that your latest picture book, Dexter Lost His Boo-Woo, came out in paperback this week.
Yeah, and I guarantee you can read that by the swimming pool in about 3 minutes, and then if you want, you could just read it 3 or 4 times again. You'll have it done before the pina coladas.
Okay, arrive. Shane Hegarty and Etna Shortall, thank you both very much. We'll take a break.